Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kit of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kit of products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Hey, welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. Let's go. Yes, we're back in the bunker for episode 70 of Feeling Good with Duddy. That's right, the show that points at the world, has a huge laugh because the world's funny. But then we point in the mirror and we laugh at ourselves because we can take a joke on this show. Hi, I'm Jake B., a barber here in Southern California. Let me introduce you to my brother, host of the show, guitar player and singer of the Dirty Heads. Here he is, Duddy B.
What's up? That's right. Episode 70.
70, Jake.
I thought you were talking to me. You're all, what's up? And I was like, do I say hi?
You can.
Okay, hi.
Hey.
Yes, episode 70, man. We made it.
We did it. Last episode was...
It was 69, dude.
69.
I loved last episode.
That was a lot of fun.
We had a good time.
And yeah, and by the way, before I get into it, I just want to say thank you guys for the reviews. I have been seeing a lot of more reviews and a lot more people writing nice things about us on our servers. It does really help a lot, so thank you guys. And if you're listening and you haven't given us a review or a rating yet, please do. We would appreciate that. Yeah, and that's all on that. We won't go much further into it. But also, I've seen that we have like a fan page, Jake?
We do. We have like extreme listener page. I don't know, it's a fan page on Facebook, the FGWD Bunker. It's up to like 220 members now, and it's a group of people that listen to the show and love to go talk about the show afterwards, make fun of us, make fun of each other, whatever. Have fun on the fucking FGWD Bunker page. So anyway, we like it. And so we encourage everyone to go over there and join the conversation.
Totally. And when you go over there, you might see a post about the Fantasy League. We have the Feeling Good with Duddy Patreon first ever fantasy football league happening over there. It's a lot of fun. If you want to find out more about that, you can go over to the FGWD Bunker page on Facebook and find out about it. And if you want to join the league, unfortunately, I think the cutoffs are today at like noon Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah, so this episode drops on a Wednesday. I mean, football starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah, but you can, if you hear this episode early, use the link, sign up at Patreon, and you can join a fantasy league. And it's just going to be a shit-talking fest with prizes and penalties if you lose. We're going to be banning people for a period of time. We'll tell you about the rules over on Patreon.
Yep.
That's enough of the fucking plugging things out the gates, right?
Yeah, that's good.
yeah, we did that. It was like three things really quickly in one.
Yeah, no, well, and yesterday, actually, Jake, I did my fantasy draft for my like actual league, not the Feeling Good with Duddy one. I have a league we've been doing, God, I think it's like 9 or 10 years now, maybe. But it's a lot of fun, and there's a couple of the guys from the, you know, band are in it. And then we have a couple of guys from Iration, the drummer from Pepper, the drummer from Slightly Stupid. It's a fun group, and we talk a lot of shit over there. So fun times, Jake.
It's on, and now Duddy started one for us. I know nothing about football. I'll be like the designated trash talker. I'll come in, Duddy, where are we at in the standings, point at who I make fun of, go. Yeah. That's what it's going to be for me, which I love. Minimal effort.
It's a lot of fun.
What's going on with the Dirty Heads? You guys just finished a live stream.
We just finished our last of the, you know, we did all the albums in order, and we just did Supermoon, so that's our last one. I'm sure we'll be figuring out other live streams in the future, but I do have some bad news. I said last week that on the 19th of this month, we were going to be doing another live stream, but we are not. That got canceled.
The Weed Farm.
The Weed Farm in
Duddy's
Oregon.
Duddy's band, the Dirty Heads, were going to do a live performance from a weed farm in Portland. Was it Portland or was it just Oregon somewhere?
Portland.
Yeah, it was somewhere in Oregon anyway.
But yeah, it got canceled. I don't know exactly why, but we're still going to try and make it happen eventually.
Yeah.
So that's a bummer, but it gives us more time to get ready for these drive-in shows, Jake.
That's the future, or that's that's the now or whatever, the present of live music, playing at the drive-in.
Drive-in shows. I'm excited just to get out there and play music. Like, it's crazy. We did all these live streams. We did 9, actually, because there was the 8 albums, but we did one before the albums. So we did 9 live streams, and we did so much rehearsal for every one of them, but it's all sitting down with an acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. And we got so used to that. And we all were talking after that last live stream. We were like, God, next practice, guys, we're going to have our amps and we're going to be standing up and it's going to be loud as fuck. And we were like, no, but it'll be fun.
It'll be a full switcheroo. And I just thought of this. It's like who would have thought? So drive-in was over a million years ago, right? Yep. There's a few drive-in theaters that are still left all over the country, more than a few, but you get it, not very many, because it's more of a novelty thing, right?
Yes.
So years ago, people were like, dude, you're still in the drive-in business? Like, get out. But can't you see the signs? Who would have known it was the future of live music?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, if you have a drive-in theater, you're just laughing. You're just counting the dollars, because a ska band by the name of Dirty Heads, that's another funny thing. Luke, who works with us here, he was like, hey, I was looking at your guys' drive-in shows and they have you listed as a ska band. Like, that's interesting.
All right. Well,
I mean, you're in the zone, but it's...
I wouldn't call us a ska band, but whatever.
I know. Yeah, it's not a big deal. And I love fucking ska. It's one of my favorite shit. My band was a ska band. But I mean, I wonder how that happened. Did someone hear it? They hit play. They're like, okay, yep, ska.
Probably.
Yeah, how funny is
probably
that?
That's probably exactly what happened. But anyway, that's drive-ins. All good. Drive-in shows the 25th and 26th in Del Mar and Ventura.
Yeah.
Yes.
Southern Del Mar and Ventura, stuff.
Southern California. But there is talks. Nothing is absolutely set in stone right now. But I will say that there has been talks of us getting out to the East Coast and kind of coming back towards the West and doing like a string of like 8 to 10 drive-in shows.
Damn. So it is kind of
like
the thing.
This might be a little thing. This might be we might have a drive-in show tour.
Wow. Kind of cool.
Different.
Interesting.
So again, man, I'm excited to get back out there and play. And I'm sure other people are just excited to go out to concerts. So
absolutely. And the cool thing is your band lends perfectly to that. Look, everyone would love to be standing next to each other, spinning joints around the crowd and doing the whole thing. But you can dance next to your car. You can see your friends. You can hang out. And it's like the punk and the heavy metal bands that are going to suffer from this. Yeah. It's like you want to pit these people. I would avoid the pits, you know, especially. Totally. You and I both would go into mosh pits when we were kids.
Oh, but for sure.
It was like early 20s. I was like, I'm good. I'm out.
Yeah,
after a couple friends got elbowed, I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are the ones where it's like hard to fucking really rip into a heavy metal show sitting on your hood. But, yeah.
But man, I thought about it and... You could bring your own beers. You could bring your own food, like whatever. And Jake, you could bring your little pee bucket.
Oh my God.
You
I could take little peas.
You
I could
go
into the back
go
of the van.
Anywhere. You got your food. You got your booze. You got your pee bucket.
I wouldn't even miss the show because I can see out the front window from the back and I'm still covered and I can pee and I wouldn't even miss a stroke of the guitar.
That kind of sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, I actually love that and I can't wait. Is there anything else with Dirty Heads besides you got a couple drive-in shows, potentially a drive-in tour?
Well, we did just a few days ago, we just released a new song, Earthquake Weather.
Hope
you guys are enjoying it. I really like that song. It's a very fun song and we had a lot of fun writing that one. So. Yeah. Other than that, not much more DH news.
And you got a week off, so really just chilling.
Just kind of, yeah, I got like a week off, and then we're going to get into rehearsals for the drive-in shows.
Nice.
So, yeah. What about you?
I actually have news. I am going to be going back. I'm a barber again. The barber shops are open in Southern California, so I'll be going back next week. That'll be cool. I've spent the last few days at the beach and I guess there's been some things. I've seen some hilarious mask action in the last few days. I do have a pool at my apartment complex and the pool has been very Vegas-like the last several days, like 20, 30 people at the pool, music blasting, people are drinking. Holiday weekend and it's been ridiculously hot down here. Before I get into the beach, I'll mention the pool mask that I saw the other day. I'm in the pool with my son, Rocky. I'm hanging out and a girl who's been in the pool all day on the side of the pool, drinking, hanging out with all her friends, talking everything. She was leaving the pool area for a minute. I think she was going up to her friend's apartment to use the bathroom, come back down. She gets out of the pool, goes over to her chair, puts on a mask, walks out of the pool area, up into the apartments, comes back down with the mask on, walks back over to the chair, takes her mask off, grabs her beer, gets right back into the pool. She was there all day with no mask, but in her mind, walking
outside
from the chair
that gate
to the outside the gate was mask.
Obviously, if you're inside the pool gate
hanging out with everybody,
then you don't have it. So only
it's
people outside the gate.
I'm seeing a lot of funny mask action at the beach. People like the sand, fully masked up, nowhere near anyone. I'm just like, yeah, okay. It's a little funkadelic.
I've seen, and sorry to cut you off, but I saw a guy we're out on a golf course. He was playing by himself, walking. He wasn't even in a car. He was walking, and he was just in the middle of the fairway out playing golf by himself, mask on. Like, damn, dude.
I guess it's
like,
the thing to do. We're probably the assholes.
Are we assholes?
I don't know, but
no,
I guess
it's
a sneeze
into the wind.
I didn't
see anybody else on the golf course doing that. And hey, when I was golfing, anytime we went to the clubhouse or inside the bar, I put the mask on. I don't have a problem with it. But if I'm out in the middle of the golf course, I'm not wearing my mask, dude.
It's a funny time right now because it's like the intensity of it all is starting to wear off, but it's still national news that
totally.
The disease and the virus and all the numbers, I guess, are going down where we live. But so you still have the just 100% masks and then you have the no masks and everybody's living right next to each other. So I don't know. And then my favorite thing is, I saw a couple of these, face shield, the one that's
the shields.
It's 6 feet off the edge of your face. And then it goes down, blocks nothing.
Yeah.
Every particle on earth can come in. If you sneeze, it's a whirlwind of sneeze.
Yeah.
It is the most worth. I'm seeing a lot of that at the beach and I'm laughing. I saw a lady the other day walk by me at the beach, Duddy, mask on. Okay. scrawny old Asian lady. It was hilarious. I'm with Lorna, my wife, and my son. We're standing there, and she comes walking by, normal bra on that's kind of hanging off, mask on, and like ballroom gloves.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's been fun down at the beach and at the pool. And I talked about something last week, I believe, when I was talking about the fake Instagram joggers, where I saw a girl jogging by. She would run. Her friend would take the video of the run, and then they would inspect the video. They were trying to get her ponytail to go vertical with the ground so that it looked like she was jogging fast. A fake Instagram jogging post is what it was. I saw it happen. I started questioning, is everything fake? Then I'm at the beach the other day, and I see... First of all, I see a gang of people doing a Calypso line, which, Luke, I sent you the video of that. So let's pull that video up here. Then Duddy can see it and join in with me. And we'll put this on the YouTube. You guys, we always release the audio on Wednesdays, and then we release the full video of our show with all these clips and pictures on Friday on our YouTube page. Feeling Good with Duddy, YouTube. And you'll get to see everything that we're looking at. Luke is pulling up the clip right now. I think I might have texted it to you. Yeah. Okay, cool. So anyway, I'm on the beach, and my wife, who's just like me, she's just like, oh, Jesus, with everybody. Yeah, there I am complaining. She's all, oh, God, look at this. I look over, and there's like an impromptu Congo line going on up and down the beach. And I look over, and there's people filming it, and they're inspecting the film and doing it over and over. So even the joy of their dance is a manufactured fake thing. You can see the video if you go to our YouTube on Friday. Anyway, and then later on in that same beach visit, I saw there's a guy in the video. You'll see him. He's got white pants on and a white hat. And you can tell he's the most annoying guy in the group. He's the one that makes everyone else do it. You could tell. And I knew because he was coaching everyone on the dance moves. So after this, he spent 20 minutes trying to lift up his girlfriend, where you like lift up, you know, the girl runs and jumps, and he's acting like I'm lifting her up and her legs kind of spread and. You know, you'd think, oh, what a fun, spontaneous, fun couple. And then, no, I watched you do it 47,000 times. And he couldn't quite lift her, by the way. So he's to get the true definition of beach muscles, where you can't really lift anything, but you obviously, you know, work out. So anyway, it got me into something that I want to start here today, Duddy. And this is... There's certain poses when the guy got into the, I'm going to, you know, my girlfriend's going to run at me. I'm going to grab her at the waist and do the lift. And they were trying to get the picture that you've seen 65,000 billion times.
Well, my favorite are you see all the dudes just dropping the chicks and the chicks just busting their faces open.
Is that a thing that's like on YouTube? Thing. You can find it
it's
or something?
It's like people always post like the most dangerous dance move or something. Oh, and it's like,
I love
it's always
this.
Drunk couples or just not even if they're couples, but drunk people. Let's do the dance.
Oh, awesome,
and
dude.
And it's just a bunch of people eating shit.
Luke's looking for the videos. But here, Luke, don't worry about it because we're going to go into this next segment. So get ready with these pictures because when I saw that pose, I realized there's so many poses that when I see people do them, I'm just like, do you want to be the least original creature to ever walk the face of the earth? These are poses I'd like to get rid of forever, and I'll have to find a sound effect, you guys, to put right when I say this word that seems like big. This is a new segment. We're going to continue to add these poses. This is Pose Apocalypse.
This is the emergency broadcast system.
Hey, can I get a picture?
Here, let me start this segment with let's get into some poses that should never happen again. And again, if you guys want to go to the YouTube on Friday, Luke will pull the pictures. I've pre-grabbed pictures for this. The I'm holding the sun pose. All right. This is when you're on vacation. You're at the beach. The sun's setting and I'm going to reach up my hands and I'm going to make a ball with my hands or I'll grasp it, you know, in front of me and the sun's glowing or the moon. And oh, look at me. I'm holding the sun. You're not holding the sun. What you're holding is the record for the least original post in history up until that point. And the next person to post it, they're the new record holder. You're passing the baton of unoriginality down like the Olympic torch. Everybody stop. Okay. I'm going to take a sip. This is good. Mm-hmm. Monster Energy I'm drinking. That's not even something I drink, but this deserves it. I'm on top of the world. We've all seen the Titanic, right? Kate Winslet in her finest role rushes to the front of the boat. She spreads her arms. I'm on top of the world. And if you step onto any water-bearing vessel of any size or kind, if you have at least three people in your group, one of them will, within 3 seconds, count it on your watch, sprint to the front, arms go spread. They proclaim I'm on top of the world. Now you see everybody, oh, I did the hike that 75 billion other people did to the top of Half Dome in Yosemite. I shall walk to the edge, spread my arms from behind. Someone will take the picture. I'm on Facebook looking highly unoriginal. Luke's got all the photos. All right, we're going to put them up. We have one person who's showing their back with the arms spread over a mountain cliff, and you guys will get it. And then the next guy is the most unenthusiastic. This guy is, I don't know, he's like over the rice fields of Thailand.
You know what he looks like,
Jake? Arms spread about. Yeah.
It looks like who we talked about on the last episode, Randy Engel's dad.
I knew you were going
to
say
it. Who we used to spy on.
Yes, you guys, last episode we did, we talked about our friend Randy Engel and how we spied on him. Was it last episode, Daddy?
I believe so.
I think it was.
This is episode what? What number?
69. So if you go on Friday to YouTube and see this picture of this dude with the red jacket, arms spread, that's Randy's dad. Okay. Annoying, but not as annoying as this one.
This one, Jake, really
bothers
me. This
is the one, the Charlie's Angels post. Everyone who knows what I'm talking about, you know. And everyone who doesn't, Charlie's Angels, whenever you see three girls that back up to each other and they do the guns with their hands and they're pointing them off and the one in the middle's pointing right at the screen, that's the Charlie's Angels pose, and no one should ever do it again. So what inspired me to start this segment, the pose apocalypse, was the running and the grabbing of the girlfriend and the lifting, and we have a picture of that. There it is right in the middle of the street, perfectly executed. I never saw one as good as that at the beach the other day. That's what he wanted. They weren't brave enough or talented enough to get there.
No.
No, but this one that we're looking at, Duddy and I mean, it's she is vertical with the ground, legs up. She's a beast. He's a beast. They're what this competition is all about. They're winning and they're doing it. Never again do that pose. Never again with Charlie's Angels. No more grabbing of the sun or the moon, and no more top of the world. It's done,
can
Duddy.
Can I throw one in there? I love this new segment that you brought to me, Jake.
Thank you.
What about the... I'm holding up the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Oh, my God.
I'm holding it up or it would fall.
Duddy, you couldn't have been a better fucking partner in crime. Luke has instantly accessed a billion, trillion, drillion of these things.
These are good
ones. You guys,
ones,
these actually, are actually
like,
fucking
these are really
great.
Good. Oh, the ice cream. That's creative.
All
like
right.
That.
God damn it. This one, okay. I'm not as mad, yeah. But I understand.
Look at the one where the guy's doing it the wrong way.
Okay. This sucks for sure, but some of these are pretty fun.
Yeah.
But
okay.
You get what but we mean. If you don't do, and look at, okay, here, you know what? Fair game. I must be honest about something, because if I'm here ripping and dipping, but lessons can be learned. We all don't get mad. I went to England. You know what I did? I love the Beatles. They're my favorite band ever.
Yes.
And I had a huge tapestry on my wall.
Does it have something to do with a crosswalk, Jake?
Yeah, it does, dude. I walked across the crosswalk like a dick fuck.
Oh, that's okay.
And I took the picture. And you know what?
Okay.
It was darling. And I'm brave. But yeah, you get it, dude. No more holding the sun, no more shit. And there it is. Luke's pulling up the crosswalk. You'll probably find me in one of these photos.
Okay.
Abbey Road.
I've got another one, Jake.
Mm-mm.
Oh. Funny, there just happens to be this wall with wings painted on it.
Oh, let me stand in the middle of the wings.
Because I'm an angel.
Oh, my God.
So in Nashville, I believe is where like the most you like taken one of these is. And in Nashville, no joke, Jake, Nashville has a Instagram photo tour you can go on where you hop in one of those two-story buses and it takes you to all the places that you should take photos in front of. So what it is it's, there it is. I'm pretty sure that's in Nashville right
okay.
there. And it's
that's a actually line, really fucking cool.
It's a line of people waiting to take their photo in front of the wings.
In these. Now look, these are an honorable mention
cool.
because we're all dumb. Remember what I said at the start? We laugh at the world because the world's stupid, and then we laugh at ourselves because we're in the world and we are stupid too. We're all stupid. So but we're cooler than you guys. That's just the hierarchy of it all. You get it. We're the coolest. Patreon members are second. And then beneath them is everyone else. So you guys understand that. We all agreed on that episode one. And we've 70 episodes beyond that. But so, yeah, if you want to do the picture on the wall tour,
go
fine,
ahead.
Dude. You're 80. Who's going to tell you no? But the poses is where we were. This is a pose apocalypse. So take a picture in front of every wall you want. Abbey Road. I even give myself a pass for that because of the coolness that we talked about earlier. It doesn't matter how cool I am. And the poses, Duddy. So anything else? Any other poses?
Not off the top of my head, but I'm going to keep thinking about it.
Keep thinking about it. Dude, we've eliminated four poses. We'll come back to it. We'll have a cool segment drop everything. But for now, make that whatever sound you guys decided on. Do it again right now.
This is the emergency broadcast system.
Hey, can I get a picture?
Right, dude. Now we go into, this is really the start of the show. That was all the warm up.
That was a long warm up.
It was a long warm up, but I'm warm. Are you?
I am.
I'm warm. And I have half a Monster energy in me and I'm already talking too fast. So that's how I know I'm ready for feel good news.
The world is bad. This is feel good news.
All right. That's right. This is feel good news. This is the part of the show that makes you feel good. That's right. We get you all warmed up and good feeling, and then we go back to talking shit on everything. So, Luke, if you could pull up that first article in the Feel Good News Zone, we have to start talking about it. This is kind of a musical episode of Feel Good News.
Huh.
Yeah, and why not? You're a musician. I mean, I'm a musician, too. I haven't been in a band in a while, but hey, once, always a musician.
True.
It's like when you're the champion of the, you know, you're a boxing champion, you're a UFC champion. Even after you lose the title, there's still your champ. Forever.
You're champ.
So everyone who talks to me, they go, hey, Jake, musician, Jake. And then I go, yeah, what's up? Please respect me. Anyway, here we go. So this is feel good news, the best feeling news on earth. And this is the music episode. And we are going to get into it because this is fun. This is super fun. Can you scroll down a little bit, Luke? I want to be able to read that top headline. I mean, up. There we go. Where's the headline? There it is. This musician is playing his funkiest beats yet on some watermelon and kiwi fruit. Get all the way out of here.
Wow.
Fruit and music, two of my favorite things.
It looks like there might also be some cantaloupe in between those watermelons.
It is. We've got a picture of a young man sitting outside by his pool, and he has a bunch of slices of watermelon, and in between the watermelon are cantaloupes. They're shorter and smaller, almost acting like the black keys on a piano or something. And he's playing these like a piano. Now, here we go. This is an article from goodnewsnetwork.org. As always, we get all of our good news from here. While this seems ridiculous, a YouTuber called Mezerg, M-E-Z-E-R-G, created a viral electronica song and corresponding music video called Watermelon, in which, you guessed it, he plays slices of watermelon like Stevie Wonder plays his synthesizer on Superstitious. That's right. It really is. And if you scroll down, Luke, there is a video right here. So you guys, if you go to the article... We'll put a link to the video on our YouTube page, but there is a video of, again, Mezerk, M-E-Z-E-R-G, playing a funky little jam. He's next to his pool. He's kicking a bass drum, and he's using his right foot to create kind of a snare drum sound, and he's ripping on the keys, and the keys are made of fruit. Daddy, what do you feel about this?
It's actually pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome. He really is ripping.
So he's got every piece of fruit has a wire plugged into it of some sort, and he's making the sounds by touching the fruit.
It seems like, and you know, we didn't read the entire article.
No, we don't do
research. Read a little bit of it, and we loved it, and we moved on to our opinion of it all. It looks like he's using fruit has juices in it, J juices are a conductant of electricity. Is that a word?
Conductant? I guess.
And conductor?
Conductor?
Conducent?
Conducent.
Condite.
Condosed.
Condunked. Condizant of electricity, and he's using it like it's amazing what he's doing. He is awesome. I'm sure he rips. He's also got a kiwi, right? Is that what that is on the side?
Kiwi over there.
And he's just kind of tapping the kiwi, and it's got another different sound effect.
I'm thinking that he had programmed some sounds that the kiwis are almost just acting like little pads.
Absolutely.
So he's got pre-programmed sounds into the kiwi.
This makes me feel really, really good.
It's actually pretty cool.
This is awesome. It's just, you know.
What is really dangerous, though, you'll see the video, is he is playing. This is an electronic. He's playing 1 inch from the swimming pool.
Yes. I mean,
very close to absolute disaster.
And that's not an official keyboard, like, stand of any kind. That is simply, like, that's like a dinner tray that you might set up.
That's like a TV dinner tray that your grandma would pop out.
Yeah, that's something you like watch Murder, She Wrote at your grandma's house, like when we were kids.
Yeah.
And then she pulls this out and gives you like a Saskatchewan frozen chicken dinner. And then you're like, thanks, grandma. And then, you know, you're watching Murder, She Wrote because, you know, and then you're a child and you're us. You were us. If that happened, you were us. And this is something that you'd eat off at grandma's house, and then you'd get up to pee, you know, and then you'd knock it over
every time
because it has absolutely no constitution to it at the bottom.
No, it's meant for folding up, not...
What's your worry, Duddy?
My worry is that he falls into the pool with all these electronics and he dies,
Jake. Oh, yes. Now I'm super worried about that and I can't even hear the song. And I don't want to. You're fine.
Oh, my God.
I can't even understand what he's doing because of the worry, but hey.
Hey.
The idea's great.
It's actually really
cool. He hasn't fallen yet.
He hasn't fallen yet. And I don't think he's going to.
I don't think he's going to. He looks like he's got good balance and great control of those keys, kick drum, and snare. He's got a computer off to the side, too, that looks expensive. So let's hope that they don't go in the pool.
Yep.
Tell you what. I love it. I feel good. I feel great. And as always on Feel Good News, we roll into our second story that is also tangentially related to the music world.
Yes.
That's right. And
adorable.
The animal world, and we love animals. New Guinea's mysterious singing dogs are not extinct after all, as scientists find their brothers. Could have been sisters, too. Little sexist out the gates. We didn't write it, you guys. Goodnewsnetwork.org. Probably about to get canceled for that headline. But we're just reading what we see, and we feel good. So here's the deal, guys. The writing of this article is wishy-washy. I did try to read it, but it was really bad and weirdly written. So I got the gist of it, and I'll bring it back around to you. Scientists, okay, this is a certain type of dog that's a singing dog that used to be everywhere in the wild in New Guinea, right? They were thought to have gone extinct in the wild, but there was a couple hundred of them in zoos around the world. The fear was that they were all basically incest, you know, they were all basically incest dogs, you know, because they were bred with each other. That's how they're still alive. So there was no natural born animals and they're not evolving and they're kind of losing what they once were is what their fear was. But then all of a sudden there's like a gold mine in New Guinea and these singing dogs, people started hearing them around the gold mine and they popped up. Scientists have done some studies and they are almost identical to the dog they thought was extinct. This is the brothers and sisters, and if you're not sure what you are, it's those dogs too, Dud.
Yep.
And they're back, and we're feeling good because the song, and they have like a name. I don't know. It's weird. Like they're calling one of them like the singing dog, and then the other one has a more...
The New Guinea singing dog.
Yeah, very just straight to the point. But they're a beautiful dog. They look not too far off from what your dog looks like,
I was going to say, they actually kind of look like my dog.
Yeah, your dog has a little more fur around the old neck area, but...
Very cool. You know what we got to do? I want to look up the singing dog. Like, what does it sound like?
Yeah, what does it sound like? See if you can find a little video of that New Guinea singing dog. And if we can, we'll patch that in here.
Oh, you do.
I'm sure it can't be too hard. There it is. Popped right up.
I'd
think our
like
volume's turned down on the old
find...
TV. Nope, we can hear it. Yeah, give us a little hit. All right. Firstly, we're getting a commercial here from... All right, there we go.
Let's hear that.
Can we hear it,
Luke? That.
Oh, just like everything, we got caught with some bait. There we go.
Yeah, those are foxes.
Like everything in the news, dude, it says right on the top, New Guinea singing dog, rare breed, and then they show us 65,000 other breeds before they get to what we want to hear, the singing of the dog. Here we go. Okay. Really, really good looking dog.
Really good podcasting right now.
Yeah,
as well.
They are not showing any of the singing. We will cut all this out in post. Luke, all go ahead and hit stop. We should have prepared that earlier, but you get it, dude. The singing dog is back. It makes us feel good. The song is alive once again. Duddy, how do you feel about this, buddy?
Honestly, I love it. One, I love dogs, and I love that they sing, and I love that they're not extinct, and I want to hear them sing.
Yeah, Luke's Jake. Looking for it again, but dude,
oh, here he goes.
Here
He's
we go.
It.
We found a version. Okay.
Whoa.
More of a scream.
It's
yeah, they're the singer in a screamo band. That is pretty interesting. That is pretty cool.
That is actually pretty cool.
All right, we'll pop a little clip of that up on the Friday
version. You know what we're
going
to have to do? That's going to be a sound clip we're going to use for something.
100%. That'll be a drop.
Maybe I'll have to put a beat behind it and make it
a hip-hop song.
Save
that video, Luke. Dude, so there it is. So we've got a guy who's making beautiful keyboard songs out of watermelon and other fruits. We've got a singing dog that was thought to be extinct, but is now back. Singing dogs are back. Duddy, do you feel good and are you ready to continue on this journey?
I do. I feel really good and I am ready to continue on with the show, Jake.
All right, there it is. This has been Feel Good News.
Join us next week for more goodness on Feel Good News.
Bam.
Boom.
Feeling good, ready to crank on. And something else that we feel pretty cool about. Last week, we talked about Uncle Peckerhead.
Yes.
It was a movie that I told everyone I really liked. And Duddy has watched it now. You hadn't seen it last week, but you have now.
Loved it.
We both loved it. It's a super funny movie. And the musical performances are great in the movie, and they truly are punk rock. Like, you can tell these are people that understand the scene that they're like writing and shooting and filming, and it's got horror elements. We loved it. It was fun. So we shared a clip with the writer and director online of us talking about his movie. He was stoked. He featured it on the Uncle Peckerhead Instagram page, and we asked him if he wouldn't mind coming on our show. And now he is.
He's
We're
coming
super
on the
excited.
Show.
So on Thursday, Duddy and I are going to do an interview with him. It's Matthew John Lawrence, who is the writer and director of this movie. And the funniest thing is we've had him on the show before, a former sound guy for the Dirty Heads, Matthew Lawrence.
His name is Matthew Lawrence.
So we already have a friend. We love Matt Lawrence's. Anyway, so that's going to be a cool thing. And so look for that on next week's show. We're going to patch that interview to next week's show. But we also wanted to tell you about another movie that we watched that we thought was fun.
Yes. VFW.
VFW. We also found it on Amazon Prime. That's where you watched it, right, Duddy?
I believe so. Yeah.
You can rent it. It's like $4.99. Yeah. It's another one of these independent action movies. Duddy watched it before me and he's like, hey, I'll watch VFW. I think you'll like it. And I did. It's very 90s. It's very dark.
Yeah.
Everything about it feels like it was made and shot in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, look, VFW stands for Veterans of Foreign War. So it's a bar called VFW. It's owned and ran by a veteran of a foreign war. Mm-hmm. And him and I think it's his birthday is what this takes place
on. The bar like owner's birthday.
The bar owner's birthday. And so him and all of his buddies, and they're all veterans as well. They go to his bar, they're hanging out drinking. There's a couple other people there too, all veterans, you know, long story
short. You gotta be a veteran to drink
here. You have to be a veteran to go in this bar and drink. And it's all a bunch of like old salty veteran dudes, super cool characters. And the like government is like no longer, and the world's kind of been taken over by like drug lords. And there's this new weird drug that has come out that kind of turns people almost into like druggy zombie-ish people.
Yeah, basically it's a kind of a post-apocalyptic thing, but it's like our time right now. It's weird. It's not in the future. It's like, hey, what if the world turned into drug zombies?
Yeah.
This is what it would be.
So without saying too much more or ruining it, you get it. Like, something happens to where the drug lord of this city or whatever is trying to get into this bar.
Yep.
And it's pretty much all these old salty veterans are kind of just like, oh, you picked the wrong bar.
Yeah,
you know
these are like 70-year-old dudes. And the beauty is they're all 90s and 80s movie stars. They're all the action dudes from back in the day that you remember. you'll see them all and be like, oh my God, yes. You know, this guy was in Cheers. This guy was in this. This guy was on that. You know, the Cobra Kai, the leader of Cobra Kai from the early Karate Kid movies. He's in it. You know, all the old.
It's great.
It's a fun one,
dude.
It's
a fun watch.
So if you guys are running out of shit and if you liked Uncle Peckerhead and you like that creepy kind of low budgety indie action shit, a great one, dude. And the funniest part, Duddy and I were talking about it. When you first watch it, you'll notice even the way they do the credits at the start is super 90s. And I'm talking at least 10 minutes into this movie, they are still dropping names.
Oh, yeah.
They're still dropping credit names. I was like, when does this end? You know, but it's all interwoven with scenes. Oh, it's just fucking funny. Anyway, good time at the movies on your couch. Duddy, we have a query, do we not?
We have a query.
Tell everybody what a query is.
So this is a conspiracy query. This is not a conspiracy theory. I am asking you if you believe this. I'm not saying I believe it. I didn't come up with this. I didn't make this up.
Everyone knows what a conspiracy theory is.
Yes.
The most annoying guy you know at the party. He's telling you everything he knows, but he just heard it from someone else. That's not what Duddy's doing here. He's asking you, have you heard about the annoying guy at the party that said this?
I'm just simply saying, do you believe in conspiracy queries?
There it is.
Oh, so this is kind of a fun one and dark.
It is. And I love the subject of this one.
Yes.
He is a weird one to me.
Former Dr. Phil guests say they were given drugs and alcohol by the producers. Okay.
All right. Dr. Phil's kind of always been weird to me. So as soon as I heard Dr. Phil, I was like, I'm in.
Yes. So the gist of this is that there's former guests coming out saying that before they would go on TV while they're backstage, they were given drugs and booze to kind of make the show more interesting, you know, to make them seem weirder and more off and...
And that all seems pretty normal. Like, you're like, okay, I get that. Why not? And then here's where it gets scathing, right? Is because this dude is saying,
Survivor winner Todd Herzog says he was given vodka and Xanax before his appearance on the talk show, according to joint investigation between Stat and Boston Globe.
But
so
the thing was, though, is he was on the show to talk about his problem with alcoholism.
He was on the show to talk about how he's fighting alcoholism.
And he says that
while he was backstage, they brought in a bottle of vodka, gave him a bottle of vodka and some Xanax.
Let's read up, because I think it even said like, out of nowhere appeared a bottle of some goofy.
So it says, former Dr. Phil guests say they were given drugs and alcohol, by the show producers and provided with little medical oversight while appearing on the talk show. Todd Herzog, a former Survivor contestant who appeared visibly drunk on a 2013 episode of Dr. Phil, while there to discuss his alcohol addiction, said he showed up on the set that day completely sober, but a bottle of vodka appeared in his dressing room and show staffer gave him Xanax before the taping began. Herzog said in joint investigation.
I love how it appeared. I don't know how
it just appeared.
Bloing!
And then there's another story here saying that there's a mom who was there with her daughter, and her daughter was there to discuss her addiction to heroin.
Wow.
She was trying to break an addiction to heroin, and she started having withdrawals. And instead of the producers taking her to a hospital or helping her, they told her to go down to L.A. Skids Row and get some drugs. And they helped her get down there to find the drugs.
That's gnarly. I wonder if there's proof of that. That is an absolutely heavy one. But oh my.
Okay.
I'm
it says
this
that Dr. Phil has a. Declined interviews and requests.
What's he gonna say, huh?
Yeah.
And I know how he gets people. I've seen a couple episodes of his show, so I know enough about Dr. Phil that when he says, I'm gonna get her to quit heroin, I know how he does that. He goes, you should not do heroin.
Yeah.
I've seen his show. Have you seen what he does?
I have not in a long
time. It's
insane.
It's literally people like, Dr. Phil, I don't know what to do. I've tried to get my daughter off drugs a million times and she just won't live. You know, and he's like, now you know that you should not do drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Heroin, is bad for you. And you're like, what the fuck? Anyone off the street. So I think Dr. Phil's the one who's drunk the entire time. Maybe they're just trying to make him look normal.
They're just trying to even it out. You know, they're like, he is so drunk that they have to be drunk as well, or this is just going to be weird.
I mean, he's the guy who barely passed the doctor test. Like, dude, he got a 69%. Yeah. He got a 69%, and it's literally 69% or higher, you're a doctor. Because think, if you get 100% on your doctor test, everyone knows, at the end of the year, doctor test, then you're a doctor. That's all it is. So 100% on the doctor test, 69% on the doctor test, you're both
doctors.
A doctor. Yeah, so.
Okay.
There it is. He's the lowest percentage, barely a doctor, Dr. Phil. And he got same with Dr. Oz. That's why his sleeves are so short. He doesn't even get his sleeves all the way because he's barely at all a doctor. They gave him a child's doctor shirt.
What about Dr. Dre?
Dr. Dre is an actual licensed physician.
Okay.
Of the beat. Yay! He gets whatever sleeves he wants because he could kill me. So anyway, Dr. Phil, what do you think, Daddy? I mean, I believe it all, dude. I believe everything.
I mean, why would they just make that up? But
yeah,
here's
why. Are they going to get money? Do they expect a book? I don't think anyone could possibly care that
much. Here's the deal. Let's just say there was a bottle of vodka in his dressing room. They didn't force him to drink that.
Exactly. Did they waterboard you with it? No.
Did they shove a Xanax down his throat? Or was it kind of just like, oh, there's some vodka. I'm going to drink that.
I'm a little nervous. I've never been on TV. Yeah. Do you have any Xanax?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I might have something. Like, I think I have a Xanax or something. Mm-hmm. Would you like one? Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. So now it's, oh, my goodness, there was vodka and they gave me Xanax. So I went, you didn't have to take either.
You didn't have to do either of them. And what's a little Xanny between friends? And then also appeared. Oops, he pulls it out of his pocket or he asks for it. Yeah. You guys got any vodka? And then boink, it appears.
Oh, it appeared.
Yeah, he didn't say I asked for vodka, or maybe he did. That's how these news articles are, and I can't trust anything nowadays. He might have said I asked for a bottle of vodka and it appeared there, and they just cut out the asked part. Yeah. And they said a bottle of vodka appeared. You see, so what's your question for everybody, Dad?
And then it's like, oh, weird. The heroin addict wanted some heroin?
Get all the way out of here. The heroin addict who's having withdrawals wants heroin drugs?
And now you're blaming the fact that you're getting heroin on Dr. Phil?
Ouch.
He didn't shove a needle in your arm.
No. Look, he's the world's worst doctor.
Yes. Well, we will give him that.
Everyone knows that. He actually got 68%. But it was like his seventh time doing the doctor test. And a lot of people don't know that. It's like Ellen. I'd been telling everybody that Ellen was a B for years. Just because I heard other people say it. I've never met Ellen. But I heard a million other people talk show. Everything I listen to, I've heard people like Ellen is the gnarliest crazy chick in Hollywood. And everyone who works for her gets fired and hates their self and quits and wants to commit suicide. I've been hearing it for years. I've been telling everyone at my work. I heard Ellen's a horrifying piece of shit. Because all of their wives go to the Ellen show and love her, and now they all have to love me because I was right 1,000 years ago. And I think what I'm trying to say is I was right about Dr. Phil when I made fun of him years ago. Is that what I was talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about, but
yeah.
I do want to know if you believe in that Dr. Phil giving people drugs so that they don't look dumb because he's on drugs.
I do. Sometimes I like to just chime in and tell you that, yes, I do believe, I believe this one. Okay. Absolutely.
I believe it, but I feel like it's like, if you're an alcoholic and there's booze there and you drink the booze, you can't blame that on the show. Don't drink the booze. If you're into heroin and you go to get some heroin, can't blame it on the show. You're a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're like, seek help. And they're like, well, that's why they were going to Dr. Phil. But then we found out he's the worst doctor.
They're like, oh, you didn't help me at all.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go get some drugs.
That's what it was. I've been telling everybody that Dr. Phil's the worst doctor on earth for years. Now they have to believe me because of that. All right, dude.
Okay, you're right. But I will say, if I was into heroin, and then I went to the Dr. Phil show, and I was like, I need some heroin. And they were like, we're going to help you get some heroin. That would make me feel good, Jake?
Oh my God, it would. It, in fact, I can't argue its horrible premise, but yeah, it would, in fact.
All right, speaking of feeling good, on this show, we have some sponsors that make us feel great. And first and foremost, Koi CBD. This is an amazing company with amazing products. We love it. We use it every single day. I got the new roll-ons, which shit, I meant to bring you both one because they sent me some and I will bring it to you next time I see you. But it's like icy hot, like roll-on, but it's got a bunch of CBD in it and I've already used it and it's freaking amazing. I love that. And you guys know I love the drops, the tincture. I'd take them every single morning. If you are someone out there who's got aches and pains and you take a lot of over-the-counter pain medicine, please give CBD a try and give Koi CBD a try because it is the best out there. You're going to love the results and it's much healthier for you than taking, you know, any Advils or anything like that. It's just much better for you. And you're going to love how it makes you feel as well. So go over to KoiCBD.com and put in code FEELGOOD at checkout and you will get 15% off your order. KoiCBD.com. Use code FEELGOOD at checkout. 15% off your first order.
Whammo.
Also, plug-ins keychains. This thing is super cool. It's a keychain holder. And what it is it resembles, or it's a replica pretty much of an amp head, like which you would plug your guitar into. And a quarter-inch cable with a key holder on it. You put your keys on it. You hang this wherever you want in your house. You walk in your house. You plug your keys in, and there they are when you got to go. You unplug them just as you would if you had a guitar. This is such an amazing product. I have one on the wall in my house. I've had it for years. Everyone who comes over that is a musician or even not, everyone asks me about it. Oh, what's that? Where'd you get that? Super cool. It's a great gift for anyone who plays guitar or just loves music. Go over to Plugins Keychains, and that's with a Z, PLUGINZ, keychains.com, and put in code DUDDYB at checkout, and you will get 20% off every order. And this product here is called the Jack Rack. When you're looking at pluginskeychains.com, look at the Jack Rack, and that's what this is, and it's an awesome product. Check it out.
Wah, wah, wah.
And I will do just a quick one. We have a lot of leftover merch we had from when we went on tour with Dirty Heads and 311. We have a lot of leftover Feeling Good with Duddy merch. I just threw it up on the cutlassbrand.com website, and it's all so cheap. I put all the shirts are $10, hats are $10. It looks like the hoodies are already sold out now because they're so cheap. Shot glasses, $5. Pins are $5. Everything is just dirt cheap. So if you do want to pick up some of the original Feeling Good with Duddy merch that we are running pretty low on, head over to cutlassbrand.com and you can pick it up there for dirt cheap right now. That's that. That's it.
All right. Well, then what is it? Is it time?
Oh, I guess we're time for...
You know what it is, dude. Hit the dribbity droppity boo.
Questions. Woo-hoo-hoo. Ask us any question you want.
Slammo, and we're back, and it's questions time. And you know what it is. All these questions come from our Patreon members. Patreon.com, Feeling Good with Duddy. Sign up over there, ask us questions, and they can get answered on this show. The ones we don't answer on this show, we answer on the Monday show that we do on Patreon every Monday. Anyway, Luke's going to be pulling them up. Let's get right into it, bud.
Okay, here we go. We have our first question from Father Pena.
Cool, first-time question guy.
I'm guessing this is, because we've had Pena ask... Jacob Pena. Yeah, I think he just changed his name to Father Pena.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Y'all ever blacked out and woke up somewhere with no memory of how you got there? I blacked out after the bars and woke up on the roof of my buddy's neighbor's house. Whoa. Wow.
Intense.
I
was never a blackout dude. I would drink a lot and get drunk sometimes, but I remember always thinking, like, I don't black out. I don't think I drink that far. I stop before that.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I've definitely had blackout nights, but I feel like it's more I just don't remember in the morning. But during the night, I'm still kind of coherent. I know what I'm doing. I always make it home or wherever. I mean, yes, I've definitely had nights where I've like woken up at friends' houses or something and just been like, oh fuck, where am I? Oh shit. But like never somewhere like crazy.
Nothing like my neighbor's roof. Yeah. I've had the same type of thing where the next morning you're like, I don't remember how I got home.
Totally. I've had those nights where I don't remember how I got home.
It's like someone took me home last night. And you're like, yeah, you passed out in the back of the car. I'm like, okay, I remember being at the party. And then
totally.
So I guess that, I don't know. Yeah, but no, nothing crazy, man. No neighbor roof's house. That's fucking
that's,
heavy.
That's hilarious.
I'm imagining a flat roof. Obviously, you're not in one of these triangle roof houses where you would roll off and you'd be dead. And you wouldn't be here to write this message here today. You probably walked up there. You were partying. You barely made it up the stairs. People carried you. They were partying on a flat rooftop. They can oversee the neighborhood. You fell asleep in the corner. You woke up. Right? A little investigative work. Okay. All right. Next question.
Sarah and T-Bird. Stoner question.
Sock.
Do you prefer your buds dense or fluffy? I'm down for whatever, but I do love a nice dense sticky nug.
Wow. I mean, first of all, down for whatever, full fucking weed slut right here. Sack Quastron, dude.
Well, I mean, I'll smoke any types of nugs, but yeah, definitely like super dense, sticky, crispy nugs are my favorite to like do body tokes with my buds.
Dude, a nice, crispy, dense nug will stick in a belly button so nice and just snuggly.
Oh,
and then you pull it out for later and put it in the body toke chief central zone. Dude. First of all, any type of weed is like a ladder to the higher consciousness. So I'll never turn down weed, whether it's dense or loose or even dry or if it's super nuggety. But a sack Wallstrom.
Okay, Autumn Dawn says, whose idea was it to do comeback around reggae style? You know what? We played the whole song normal, like just how it was on the album, a few times. And after we had gotten it down tight, you know, we were all kind of like, it's okay. You know, it wasn't very exciting. So we were kind of like, let's just jam on it. Do whatever you want to do. Like everyone just kind of fuck around and we'll see what we come up with. And we were trying a bunch of different things. And I just started doing the fast kind of skanks with it, you know, and Matt kind of started following along and it just, everyone kind of started to just like, it just kind of evolved. And within like 2 minutes, we were like, oh yeah, this is it. This is the vibe right here. So it was cool. You know, it was, I would say almost just like, it was a team effort.
It just organically happened.
Yeah, we were just all jamming and it just kind of started to feel right. I started doing some skanks with it and yeah, it just kind of started building. But yeah, that was super fun. And I really liked what we did with Horsefly too. I love how that turned out. That was really cool. Let's see here. Bill says, new Patreon member here. Well, what's up, Bill? Welcome. But been a huge fan for a long time. What is a favorite song to play that isn't yours? I love hearing bands do cover songs and put their own little twist on it. That's a good question. I still think to this day that my favorite cover song we ever did was Paint It Black.
Yeah.
That song was so fun. We've got to bring that back. And it's so funny. That's one of those things we always talk about because it comes up every like other year. And we'll go, oh, yeah, God, we got to do that again. That was so fun. And then we don't talk about it again for 2 years. Yeah, I think Paint It Black is my favorite cover song that we've done as the Dirty Heads. That was a lot of fun to play.
That was a cool one.
Yeah. Audrey Morris says, my favorite go-to road rage shout out is the horn blows. Does the driver? Okay. Or did your license come from a Cracker Jack box? Oh, wow.
Oh, those are light-hearted, little fun little ones. Daddy and I have
Do you have ours any are a little different. Go-to lines, or am I just that angry of a driver? Yeah. So I'm not like a huge road rage guy, like at all. Like I'm. It is what it is. But if someone does something blatantly just like stupid or whatever, I don't think I have like a go-to. I think I'm more just like a what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, it's just a reactionary holy shit. I do have like the street I live on is this long straight street and there's cars that park along both sides. So there's little driveways where people pull out and they have to pull out kind of far to see around the cars because parking is allowed both sides of the street all the way down. So as I'm driving down this long ass street, every time I'm coming up to a driveway, if a car is coming out, they have to pull out extra too far to see. Always. And it just always looks like they're about. So I'm constantly going, don't do it. I know. I just made fun of her, Audrey, for not being. That's it. My hand goes straight to the horn. I'm all, don't do it. Sometimes I'll throw a fucking. Don't fucking do it. Don't do it. And I'm always ready to just, I'm just always ready.
Oh.
But I do have a quick road rage story. I was coming home from work one time when I was much, much younger, and I was going kind of fast, and I was in the right lane, and someone was looking like they were about to pull out of an apartment complex. And I slammed. I like laid on the horn really loud because I really thought they were coming out, and maybe they weren't, or maybe they were and I scared them. I don't know, but I laid on the horn kind of hard and I kind of looked over to see who it was. And I didn't even see past the windshield, but I kind of looked over and did a loud honk. So it probably looked like I was like, hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, I just kept driving. Didn't think much of it. Got to the end of the street, made a right hand turn. I go up the street even farther and I hit a red light. And I'm just sitting there listening to my music. I'm coming home from work. I'm not thinking anything of it. And then I start hearing this like guy screaming. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm all, who's fighting? You know, and I look around and I look in my rearview mirror and I see the truck that was coming out of that apartment is like three cars back at the red light. He's standing out of the side of his truck holding his door so he can hop back in and drive, screaming at me. He's yelling at me. So this is just for Duddy. So you can picture, this is when we still lived with mom and dad over in the second house, or the third house in Huntington, not in the bird track, but Bayshore, the last one that we lived in, Bayshore, right? And I was meeting my band. They were already at my house setting up for practice. I just got off work. You know, guys set up the shit. I'll be home from work in 2 minutes. So this guy's outside of his car screaming at me. I see him in the rearview mirror. Now we make eye contact. And he's like, yeah, motherfucker, what's up now? He's screaming at me. Gnarly, scary dude. I do not want any piece of it. I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm kind of taken by storm. Light turns green. Pulls up alongside of me. He's now staring at me. I'm staring straight forward. I'm like, do not. If I look at him, we're fighting. I know this now. So I won't look at him. He's honking. He's screaming. He's cussing. We're going through a green light. He's cussing and screaming. So I'm trying to drive and still deal with this guy. It gets to the point where he's just frustrated. So he floors it in front of me and just turns his car right in front of my car. And he slams on his brakes, dude. I quickly, as all hell, swerve around him. We start driving fast. He gets in front of me again. And on Duddy, I hook a quick left into like the opposite side of our little neighborhood.
Yeah.
So for everyone who's listening, you know, I duck into my neighborhood. He's in front of me. So he's still going straight. My fear now is he's going to go to the next neighborhood turn in and be searching the neighborhood for my car. I know that my band is there. I call the guys in my band and I'm like, you guys, I'm coming up the street. I'm all, grab fucking baseball bats, grab whatever. I go, this guy's following me. He's going to kill me.
Yeah.
I drive up and I see the members of my band. I pull into my driveway. I see the members of my band standing in the driveway, like holding weapons. And I kind of like ducked by my car and I just waited in fear for like, you know, 5-10 solid minutes. And I'm like, okay, I don't think he's coming, dude. Cause our neighborhood was very small.
It wasn't big.
We've talked about our big neighborhood, you know, when we're playing ditch 'em with our friends before. This was, we've moved out of that neighborhood into this tight little like 5-street little neighborhood. He would have found me easily, dude. Yeah. This guy wanted to murder me.
But he just kept going
on a full blown busy street, hit his brakes until I stopped. And so we're stopped and I'm like, what is about to happen? And I just kind of pull around him and he floors it again. It was like the craziest moment of my life. I almost got murdered on the streets. Anyway, good sec question. Yeah. I've never really been like a honker guy after that. I'm like, I don't want to die out here. Yeah. Okay.
Raul Guerrero
says,
how many times have y'all been pulled over?
I just got pulled over 3 days ago.
Really?
Yeah. Phone.
Oh, you got a ticket.
I didn't.
Oh.
So I was pulling out of, I went on a hike and then on the way home, we grabbed like McDonald's breakfast and I had everything, my wallet, my phone, everything was on my lap because I had just paid at McDonald's, you know? And so I was pulling out and I was just rustling with stuff on my lap and I'm driving up PCH and motorcycle cop. I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
I pull over. He's like, dude, what are you doing? And luckily I had everything on my lap. So I'm like, I'm such an idiot, dude. I go, I know, I'm sorry. I just pulled out of McDonald's. I was messing with everything. My wife and kid was there and he's all, dude, your wife's right here. Hand her your phone, hand her your wallet. He's like, come on. You know, he's like, I see you looking down. I'm all, you got me. I was looking down. I go, and he like looked down. He's all, all right. He's all, I can't prove that you were texting or doing anything, but I saw you messing around. He's all, I can see the receipt. Everything's on your lap. So he's all, dude, just be more cautious and let me go.
See, there you go.
There it was, dude.
Good guy. Good guy.
Good guy. Anyway.
You know what, man? I haven't been pulled over. I fucking don't. I can't even. Like, it was the last, the only, I had, my first car that I ever had was like a lowered 66 Cadillac Sedan DeVille.
With Duddy B and old like English on the back. It was like, please pull me over.
And I got pulled over a lot in that car, but the only ticket I ever got was, I didn't even get it. Matt Denny got it in your band.
Another guy from my band. Yeah.
So, and this car looks suspicious. So I would just get pulled over, you know? But I never got tickets. And I'll never forget this. I was at my friend Scott's house, and he just lived in a neighborhood, you know, normal neighborhood. And my car was in his driveway. I backed out of his driveway and, you know, backed out of his driveway and then started to drive. I hadn't gone one house yet. And a cop car came up from behind me and in front of me, lights on, and pulled me over. And they're just like, and I go, you know, and they come and they're like, license registration. They take my license and registration and they go to their car. And this was an old Cadillac. It was an old car. And if I just sat there running, like, I think something was going on to where, like, it wasn't good for me to keep my lights on if I was just kind of like sitting there.
Yeah.
So I turned the lights off on my car and I like turned the engine off and the lights off and everything. And then they came back to the car and they're like, oh, we're going to give you a ticket for your lights weren't on. Yeah, and it was just obviously they had nothing, right? And this was after they were at their car for 30 minutes, and that's why I turned everything off, because we were sitting there. I think, like, my alternator wasn't working perfectly, so if the car was off and the lights were on, it would kind of drain the battery quick. Yeah. So I turned everything off, and I'm like, then I started explaining myself. I'm like, dude, I pulled out of that driveway right there. I was like, I haven't even gone one house, and I was like, my lights were on. But I just what I told you guys, I said that, right? And they go back to their car for another 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And then they come.
Give me the ticket at this point.
I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, what the fuck? And I think what it was, too, is me and Matt were going to, like, meet. Like, we were going to, like, hang out with friends, like some chicks or something, you know? Like, we were looking forward to where we were going.
Yes.
And we were just like, dude, you are holding us up like crazy. So they come back and they end up being like, there's something dumb. Like, okay, well, we're just going to give you a warning and we'll let you go this time. And I was like, I didn't do anything.
I remember this.
They like
too,
searched
back in the
my
day.
Car
yeah.
and shit too. Like, they just saw the car and were thinking, this guy for yeah. sure, you know?
And then there you are. You got a fro, if not.
Yeah,
long,
but you know it's like,
just,
yeah.
And
I had
like,
no
they
record
just looked
whatsoever.
Like a pothead.
I just had, yeah.
Nothing they could bust
nothing.
You on.
Yo,
so, and back then, weed was like illegal. So they
totally.
Would just do, if they could
they
find a feather
looking,
of
yeah.
weed, they would just be like, we gotcha.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's that. So mm-hmm. now they let me go. Still in the neighborhood, right? And then I get to the exit of the neighborhood and I'm waiting for the cars. Now it's my turn. I pull out and go left onto the main street. Boop! A completely different cop pulls me over. And nothing either. And there, what they, this was a chick, right? This was a lady cop. And I, at this point I pull over and now I'm in a parking lot of a liquor store. And we're just sitting in there and Matt is fired up.
Matt starts arguing.
Matt's
yeah.
sitting shotgun.
Yeah.
And Matt is pissed right when she gets to the window. We just got pulled over 2 seconds ago in the neighborhood. I'm like, dude, Matt, it's all good. It's all good. Chill out, dude.
Matt will fight for his
yeah.
rights.
And
dude.
And she's like, oh, excuse me, you know? And I'm like, it's all good. And I was like, we just got pulled over 2 seconds ago. I was like, I just pulled out of that neighborhood right there. And I was like, and you pulled me over. I was like, I got pulled over twice within like, you know, a quarter mile of where I was coming from.
Am I
you know,
not I was allowed like, it's to a have little, this car?
Yeah, I was like, it's a what? Little frustrating. I didn't, like, what did we do? And she goes, it looked like you were driving a little erratic. And I was like, I've been driving for 10 seconds. Like, I just pulled out of the neighborhood. And granted, it was a lowered ass Cadillac. Yeah. And maybe it drives like a boat. So if I'm doing a left turn, maybe it gets a little motion.
It gets a little wobbly.
It gets a little whatever. So she pulls me over. And I could already tell that she's gonna let me go.
Yeah.
Nothing's gonna happen. But Matt is fired the fuck up. What is going on? We didn't do anything back there. They held us for an hour. What the fuck? He's dropping F-bombs and he's all, and I just keep going, Matt, dude, shut up. Like, just.
Yes.
And she's looking, and then it even gets to a point too where I think she goes, you should have your friend be quiet. And I was like, Matt, like, it got to the point where I was getting pissed at Matt and he just wouldn't let it go. And she walks back to the car and then she comes back and she goes, you're good. I'm let you go. But you know what? I just noticed that you don't have your seatbelt on. So she gave Matt a seatbelt ticket.
Oh, there it is. Just
let it go, dude. And then we drove off. But yeah, I got pulled over all the time in that car, and I have never actually gotten a ticket.
Because there was never anything.
No.
Yep. There it is.
That was a long-winded story.
That was a fucking juicy sack.
Sack. But yeah, Kristen Perrin wants to know, hello, I was just wondering if Cutlass is going to do another Bloody Duddy bundle around Halloween. I have a Bloody Duddy shirt already. It's one of my favorites. Jake and Red signed it in New Hampshire. Dude, yes, we'll always do the Bloody Duddy. It's my favorite one. Every year we have our friend Red, who's done some other great designs for us. He designs a new Bloody Duddy t-shirt. And what that is he makes some sort of like zombie drawing of me. And we make a t-shirt design out of it for Cutlass brand. And we sell it around Halloween. So yes, to answer your question, we will definitely be doing another Bloody Duddy this year. And Randy Cheeseman says, what's your realistic opinion? Will there be live music in 2021? Yes, there will be. Do I think it will be just full on? Let's have, 15,000 people, festivals going on and shit. I don't think so. I really don't. I think it's going to take a little bit slower to get fully back out there, but I do think there will be live music in 2021. It's going to be weird for a bit, guys. And that's not that far away. So, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's just right back to fucking normal, but I just don't feel it.
Yeah. I have no fucking clue.
All right. We've got one more. You didn't answer my question. There's no time.
Yeah. Last question, Luke. Go back to those questions. Yeah.
Okay. FTR says, not a question, but just, this is our last question. Not a question, but just wanted to thank you guys for not only providing great positive vibes to listen to while at work, but also for helping keep my head in a good place. Haven't been doing the best lately. Sorry to hear that. And dealing with a lot of issues in regards to my mental health, but I wanted to let you guys know I appreciate you for what you do. That's awesome, man. I'm sorry to hear you're doing bad, but I am happy to hear that, the show is helping you out. And that's great, guys. Honestly, me and Jake, listen, we love to rant and talk shit and even sometimes talk shit about you guys to you guys and behind your backs. One of our favorite things. But this show, we do it because we're having fun. We hope you guys are having fun listening. And man, messages like this are great because this is why we're doing it. We hope that we are, giving you guys something to look forward to and brighten your day up a little bit. So man, FTR, thanks for that. And I'm glad to hear that we can help you out.
Yeah, that's a fucking positive note. Stop it right there. Thank you very much. Right there, that's super awesome.
Thank you guys so much. We love y'all. And we'll see you next time.
We will be back next week. Be good. Wah, wah.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.